Tell ISS Tow did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across London as you listen. This is their story. Transport infrastructure connects communities, but in Brentford and Isleworth, the connections that could transform lives remain unbuilt while qualified engineers search for work. Her expertise in rail systems met walls of Treasury doctrine that treats public investment like household spending, leaving both the engineers and the communities they could serve stranded on opposite sides of an artificial divide.
My father drove the 237 bus route for 32 years. Watching passengers squeeze into overcrowded carriages while perfectly viable rail corridors sat unused. That's what drew me to transport engineering, the knowledge that better connections were possible, that the geography was there, that the need was obvious to anyone who lived here. After working on high-speed rail projects in Spain and Germany, I came home to care for him as his arthritis worsened. I wanted to build the transport links West London had been promised for decades. In 2019, I applied to Transport for London for a senior position on the West London Orbital Rail Link. The project had been discussed for years, a logical connection that would let residents travel across outer London without routing through central zones. The job description was detailed, the engineering specifications clear, the route mapping already advanced. When I didn't hear back for weeks, I called directly. The project is under review pending Treasury approval for capital expenditure, the hiring manager told me. We're confident about the technical feasibility, but we need confirmation of funding before we can proceed with recruitment. That sounded reasonable. Infrastructure projects need proper financial backing. I decided to approach the Department for Transport directly, thinking perhaps I could contribute to the business case development that would unlock that funding. The civil servant I spoke with was polite but firm. Current fiscal constraints mean we must prioritise projects with the highest cost-benefit ratios, which typically favour central London connections. Outer London schemes, like the one you're interested in, face significant challenges in the current spending environment. Again, this seemed logical. Resources are finite, priorities must be set. I shifted approach and applied to Network Rail's graduate scheme, thinking I could work within the system to champion West London projects from the inside. Budget cuts have reduced our intake by 60% this year, the recruitment coordinator explained. We simply don't have the funding for new positions. We're having to focus on essential maintenance roles only. The phrase kept recurring. We don't have the funding. I heard it again when I applied for roles with the Crossrail 2 planning team. The project is on indefinite hold due to lack of Treasury backing for major infrastructure spend. Each rejection felt entirely reasonable in isolation. Money is tight, budgets must balance, tough choices have to be made. I started looking at consulting roles, thinking perhaps the private sector offered better prospects for transport infrastructure work. Then I took a different route home one afternoon and walked past the old British Rail Training Centre in Feltham. The building stood empty, windows boarded, weeds growing through the car park. Next door was the job centre, and outside it was a queue of construction workers and engineers from my neighbourhood. Men and women I recognised from the local pub, from school pickups, from the mosque and the community centre, people with hard hats under their arms, high-vis jackets folded in their bags, discussing which agencies might have work next week. I stopped walking. The same week that Crossrail 2 had been cancelled for lack of funding, here were the people who could build it, standing in line to sign on. The skills existed. The workforce existed. The need certainly existed. Anyone who'd tried to get from Hounslow to Richmond during rush hour could attest to that. Curious, I started researching what had actually happened to transport infrastructure spending. I found that the Infrastructure and Projects Authority had recorded a 40% underspend on their training budget that same year. Training courses were sitting empty because departments couldn't release staff they weren't hiring. They weren't hiring because they didn't have the budget. They didn't have the budget because the Treasury had declared infrastructure investment unaffordable. But as I stood there watching skilled workers queue for benefits, the logic began to crack. If the government that prints pounds sterling says it cannot find enough pounds to employ British workers to build British infrastructure using British materials, what exactly is the constraint? The workers exist. The materials exist. The need exists. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it. Except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I still live in Brentford and Isleworth. I still see the same transport problems every day, the same overcrowded buses, the same impossible connections. But I also see something else now. This is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard that they control, that they stock, that they choose to keep locked.
What Cal Istow experienced has a name, logical fallacy. A false analogy compares two things that seem similar but work differently in crucial ways. Comparing a goldfish bowl to the ocean because both contain water ignores that one is a closed system and the other connects to vast currents and tides. Every time someone told Cal Istow, there is no money, they were applying household logic to a currency issuer. Households must earn or borrow before they spend. They have finite budgets because they cannot create pounds. But the UK government issues sterling. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. When it pays contractors or employees, it creates new money by typing numbers into bank accounts. The false analogy runs so deep that transport departments genuinely believe they were constrained by treasury allocations, as though pounds were physical objects that could run out. Meanwhile, the real constraints, qualified engineers, available materials, suitable land, were standing idle. Cal Istow could see the infrastructure workforce queuing at the job centre while rail projects were cancelled for lack of funding. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Brentford and Isleworth ranks 188 out of 543 English constituencies for deprivation. English Indices of Deprivation 2025, MHCLG. The constituency has 936 registered charities, Charity Commission Register. Total grants received amount to £36.5 million, 360 giving grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.